Good morning, everyone. So this morning, you've heard me speak before about upside down thinking, haven't you? So let me just clarify that for anyone who doesn't understand, thank you. So upside down thinking sometimes is, so a bit like you haven't got anything, and you might think, what could I give away? And actually, the more you give away, the more God gives you. And it's not because you were giving it away. It's not conditional, but it's just, it's something that you do, and actually God blesses you because you're giving stuff away. Yes? Does that make sense to you, those of you that are newer to us? And God has a way of upside down thinking. So the way we would normally think, God has a different way of thinking. And I want to talk about that this morning because I read something and it really got me thinking about sometimes how we need to change how we think. And this will do you good. This is specifically for Christians this morning. And when I've been praying about this, when I've been preparing this, I might ask at the very end, do you want some release in this? Because I've tried to kind of think, oh Lord, this is hard to put across. Are you sure you've not got something else for me to share? But no, you know, and I thank God that you're part of a church that challenges your growth. And that actually, you know, our heart as leadership is to take you from A to B. It's not that you come here every week and sit nice and comfy in the chair and go all the same, because that's not what God's about. He wants to develop you as a person, and he wants you to grow, and he wants you to grow in ministry. And some of you will say, well, I haven't got a ministry. But some of you do a job where you talk to people. Where's Zoff? Where's Zoff? He's not here. Right. So Zoff, he's a barber. Look at all the people he gets to talk to. Your dad. All the people he talks to. Joe is brilliant. She's a hairdresser and she listens to people. She's got the art of conversation. She's got words of encouragement. She speaks truth all the time. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes you might write yourself off. And what God is sort of saying is, do not write yourself off. And I'm talking this morning about inadequacy. I'm talking about where you feel completely inadequate to do a task. You might feel inadequate to do something and God's not even asked you to do it yet. So there's opportunities for volunteering at the cafe. Can I just clarify, it's not Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You're not coming for 3 days. No, it's all right. Those are the days the cafe's open. It might be 2 hours. You might give 2 hours a week out of your time. So I just wanted to clarify that because I thought some people might think, oh dear, that's a lot, that. But I want you to, just before I start, just be open enough for God to speak to you about where you feel inadequate. I also want you to be open enough to be saying, Lord, is this something I should be doing? And the third thing is, if you feel that God is asking you to do something or serve, please don't sit on it, because you haven't got enough time to sit on it. And I'll tell you why, because time is flying by and opportunities are flying by. It's time for the here and now. Opportunities are for the here and now, even if that means you have to change something personally in your life. Okay. So this is a word, I believe, that it's for Christians who are sat here. But I've got a little caveat. Slide one. If you have not had a new beginning with God, don't care if you've been brought up in a Christian home, whatever. If you've not had a new beginning where you're a new creation and everything has gone before and you've had a new start, then I just want to say to you this morning, have that start, because that's when your life begins. I can never ever get up here and not talk about anyone who doesn't know God, because I'm passionate about you knowing God, absolutely passionate. Okay, so let's start. So last time Lisa spoke about joy, about knowing God, and how in our everyday life that we need joy. And she's a great example of that, Lisa. She lives that. But I want to talk about this morning, joy of inadequacy. Now you might say to me, how can I be happy if I'm short of something? How can I be happy when I don't feel good enough? How can I be happy when I haven't got this skill? How can I be happy? How can I be happy when I don't feel good enough to do things? I don't feel confident. I want to tell you, you can have joy because He is enough. And that's the word for you this morning. He is enough. I read this recently in a daily reading. I've been following a gentleman called Alistair Begg. He's a Scottish man and he lives in Ohio and he's been a pastor 30 years. And he does this daily reading and it comes in my inbox every morning. And this was the title of one of his daily readings, Joy of Inadequacy. And I read it and I thought, I was really challenged by the title. And then as I read it, I was really challenged. And I'm bringing some of his daily reading to you with some of my thoughts. You know, as a church, we believe that when you become a Christian, that you're a new creation, which you've just talked about. But I thank God that we're all different. I thank God for each one of you that you are completely unique. You are completely different. And some of you are going to say, I thank God, Sue, that I'm not like you. You will. You'll say, oh, I'm glad I'm not like Sue Moores. We're all different. We're all unique. All different. You know, but when God, in Genesis 1, it says, God made male and female, and it was good. When God created us, it was good. And straight away, God's perspective on humanity was that it was good, He loved us, was compassionate towards us, and full of acceptance. And then we know it got messed up by the fall of man. We know that. But God created us. When we were created, He had plans and purposes for us. And it was not about failure. I just want to list up some inadequacies. And I'm not being funny, but these kind of tripped off the tongue. So easy to write about inadequacies. So if you just put slide 2 up, Jed, please. So I feel weak. That could be physically, it could be mentally, I feel weak. Or as a person, you might not feel that you're strong enough to do a task. Not clever enough. You're lacking certain qualities and abilities. You're not good enough. I haven't got the right resources to do that. I'm useless. Lacking purpose. As you get older, it's quite common to feel useless. When you brought your children up and you've gone and you've done things, and as you get older and you may acquire more health issues, people feel useless. I want to tell you that in the church you're never useless. Never useless. And it can be summarised by saying, I'm not enough. I can summarise all those things. And there's many, many more things. They were just a few things I just jotted down. We can say we're not enough. Slide 3, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, the Spirit brings life, gives life. We see straight away there, in God we have our sufficiency. You know, and it's something that as a Christian you have to say. When you feel that you're not sufficient, when you feel you're not enough, you have to say, God, you're my sufficiency. It's important when we get thoughts to use God's word. It's very, very important. God, you are my sufficiency. Have you ever felt unequal for the purpose or the challenge? I have. Have you been asked to do something and you feel out of your depth? When I want to ask you a question, when you're asked to do something, are you cautious? Is your first instinct to say no? I'm going to be awful, but that has to be tackled. Your instinct can't be no. Not when you're a Christian, because how do you know that what somebody's asking you to do is something that God wants you to do? So your instinct cannot be, your default cannot be no. That's a challenge to you. Maybe you were asked to do something and you were speechless. Believe it or not, that's happened to me. I've been short of words when I was asked something once. I was completely speechless. It doesn't happen much, but it has happened. When Andy and I used to do camps, we used to do a camp every summer. It was so stretching, I cannot tell you. We used to have probably maybe 11 or 12 churches, maybe 105 young people. We were given a bed plan for a private school and we had to plot each bed and who was going where. That was my task. I don't know how I inherited that task, but it was my task to put everyone together in groups in a bed, obviously male and female, and plan the whole. And sometimes it was 185 young people and fit it into a dorm plan for the whole school. I don't know how I did it, but it was done. Warren's over there. He'll remember this. And then once we get there on the Saturday, get everybody in, get everybody sorted, had an amazing meeting with the young people. God moved. We saw some miracles on camps. We saw amazing stuff happen to young people. And the fruit of that is still relevant today. The fruit of it is still relevant today. Somebody spoke to me about it even this week. And one morning on the Wednesday, a couple of days before, somebody said to me, and if I've shared this before, forgive me. And they said to me and Dave Lawrence, who was heading up the camp, they said, The chef's going home on Wednesday. And Dave looked at me and I looked at Dave and Andy was there and there was another couple of people there. And they went, the chef's going home on Wednesday. And I'm thinking, chef's going home? How do you feed 185 people? Chef goes home. And he had this dead dodgy cooker in the school kitchen that you had to kind of put on at 5 a.m. before it got hot enough. And I was thinking, what do we do with all these people? How do we feed them? So the chef said, I've worked out a plan for evenings and everything else and barbecues and outside and different things. But he said, you will have to do a cooked breakfast. So I'm not being funny. If I have 7 people in my house, so that's 6 adults and baby, I just about cope. I cannot cope with kind of 7 plus. So that's why a lot of you never get an invite to my house, because when it gets any bigger than that, I'm kind of not very good. So we had to cook a breakfast for 185 people. That was young people, plus staff, plus thing. All I can say is that was the moment when I was speechless. And Dave said to me, will you help me? And I thought, you don't know who you're asking here to help you. Anyway, all I can say is I said, yep, I'll help you. We got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, we put the ovens on and we prepared a breakfast for 185 people and we didn't kill anyone. And we did that for probably 3 mornings. So all I can say is I have been there. As a church leadership, we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. And I'm saying that because everything that I'm going to say to counteract your inadequacy is found in the word of God. And I've been studying Timothy for the last couple of weeks, and I read this again, and I have to say I have had a freshness about reading it. It's 2 Timothy 3, verse 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you've learnt and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you learnt it. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. This is the bit. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. As a Christian, this is God's words on paper. It's trustworthy. It has an authority. Has an authority in my life. And I read this over the last 2 weeks and I just got such a freshness about the word of God, how important it is. The next script. So I'm going to give you some scriptures now. And that's why I wanted to put that in there. Slide 4. This is one of the first scriptures I learned when I was a Christian and off by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. God's word says that he's got plans and purposes for your life, and that's not failure. So focus on his direction and not your limitations. Embrace a life of, and this is hard, this, no self-doubt. And I want to offer you a challenge, really. If you have self-doubt, as soon as that comes in, this is where you need to know the word of God. You need to know that he is everything, that he is enough. When we feel inadequate, the focus is on ourselves. The focus is on our feelings. The focus is on me. And it's all about what we can't do. It can be about regrets. You know, and all that can be so draining. And it means then that you're not free. And it means then that you won't serve. And that is such a shame. And that's why I'm talking to you this morning, because God wants you to have freedom. And God does want you to serve one another. We're a great church here for serving one another. Yesterday, the atmosphere in here was absolutely brilliant. People were served in here yesterday. It was brilliant. Trust in him means we're not concentrating on our shortcomings, but on plans for hope and a future. Because his plans for you are rooted in love and goodness. And we forget that sometimes. Our Father God has got plans for you that are rooted in love and goodness. The next slide, please. Philippians 1, verse 6. And it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Be a starter finisher. I'm naturally a starter finisher. I start something and I finish it. And sometimes, you know, I can be like a dog with a bone. You know, I have to finish things, really. But be a starter finisher. God starts, and be confident he will finish as well. Slide 6. Every weakness you have is an opportunity for God to show his strength in your life. Our weakness, we are then, that's replaced by his strength. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. The joy that in that reading I was reading about is settling that we are not enough, but God is. Sometimes I was thinking, when I was preparing this, sometimes I think we need a new pair of glasses. Those of you that wear glasses, sometimes I think we need a new pair of glasses, because we need to see God. We need to see how God sees us. That's what I'm trying to say. Put a different pair of glasses on. Think about, how does God see you? Not how you see yourself. And I think it's great freedom in that. When I was preparing this, I just got a picture of a pair of glasses and putting on a different pair of glasses. And I thought, yeah, I need to see myself, God, how you see me. I'll be so much freer. We are very rich because our sufficiency is in his boldness, his ability, his power, through the Holy Spirit being the helper. We know that the Holy Spirit is the helper. That this thinking like this and applying this to our lives, which is not easy, brings rest and joy, and the Holy Spirit helping us. And it brings an enabling. It means that we can do things that we never thought we could. And it brings freedom through the Holy Spirit. Slide 7, please. For when I am weak, I am strong. This is Paul writing this. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church leaders who were full of charisma. I'm not going to name anyone, but we have leaders who are full of charisma worldwide, don't we? Full of charisma. And when you look at them, that's a lot of it what it is. It's not character. They're not sometimes honourable, sometimes not honest. So leaders can be full of charisma. God's not interested in charisma. God's interested in in changing us and us being people who, good people, who implement God's word, who are honest, who are interested in others and not self-focused. We can have charismatic leaders, but that's not what God wants. And when Paul saw them in the Corinthian church, he prayed. Let me just find out what he exactly said, because I want to quote it. He recognized that he needed to be different and totally reliant on God. And he knew he wasn't enough, but he knew that God was. I am weak when I am strong, and that's where that scripture comes from. There are many people in the Bible who naturally felt inadequate. And when you look through the Bible and read the Bible, there's a number of them. But I just picked one this morning, Moses, because I thought it's one that most of us know. You'll know it through Sunday school, or you'll know the story of Moses. He was given the task of taking the children out of Egypt. He was an unlikely candidate. He had a past. He'd killed someone. He had problems with his speech. He couldn't speak properly. He was a poor communicator. He didn't have confidence in communicating the word of God. And if you're thinking, all those people had to move from one place to another, you needed a good communicator. But God provided in every situation that he found himself in so that he could complete his task and his journey. And he was described as a mighty man of God. He approached Pharaoh, we know that, through dreams, and he told Pharaoh what was going to happen, and he approached the most powerful man at that time. He approached him and asked him to free God's people. He parted the Red Sea. He led the people to the Promised Land. And Moses could have had that phrase that I used to hear a lot at work. It's above my pay grade. Have you ever heard that phrase? It's above my pay grade. Moses could have said, it's above my pay grade, this. But he didn't. Look what amazing things he did when he trusted God. And slide 8, Philippians 4, verse 13. We quote this a lot. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As soon as I have a situation, you will hear me say this. It might be out loud. It might be in my head. But there's many, many times when I've gone into situations and said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Even when my knees have been knocking. When I've gone into situations, I have no idea how to get out the other side. And I've had many. My knees are knocking. I go in and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right, God, let's go. Yeah? Let's go, God. Situations you're placed in can be opportunities for God's glory. Think about that. You're not doing something at the moment. Somebody says, oh, I think you'd be great at this. Your first thing is, no, 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 that's not me. No, 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 no. And then you do it and it's like, oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I didn't know. And God, it's like Lisa. I watch Lisa do CAP and think, oh, it's amazing. I couldn't do what Lisa does. She's amazing. She's a natural. But I know when she said to me the other day, she was talking about CAP when she was first asked. She really hesitated about doing it, but she's a natural. She's an absolute natural at it. And imagine if she said no, and there are people in the church through CAP who wouldn't be here. And I'm not saying that to emotionally blackmail you. I'm saying it as this is what God does. He needs us. He's looking for vessels. He's looking for people who are willing. So, there's opportunities for you to show God's glory. Don't compare yourself with others. You know, and being a sinner, I was thinking about this, being a sinner is a great leveller. Being a sinner is a great leveller. It don't matter how much money you've got, you're a sinner. It don't matter how rich you are, you're a sinner. It don't matter how poor you are, you're a sinner. It doesn't matter what house you live in. When you don't know God, you're a sinner. And we've all been there. It don't matter whether you're a king or an ordinary person. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But the good news is that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 verse 8. And just to finish, it's so important that we recognise who God is. I'll say this a lot because I need it a lot. Look up. Don't look inwards, don't look down, look up. Look up. The last slide is Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. It's normal to be self-reliant. You know, I've been brought up to be self-reliant and independent. And it's normal that, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have those things. But sometimes we can feel we're not enough. But in this Christian journey with God, you are enough. God wants you to be released from different thinking, which is when we humble ourselves and acknowledge that we're not adequate. It's fine saying we're not adequate. I'm not adequate for a lot of tasks, but he is. But you see, when we step into that, right, well, you're big enough, God. I'm not, but you are. It brings a boldness and a usefulness and acceptance of his sufficiency. Instead of stepping back where we go and not do something, God is asking us to do something. Personal inadequacy stops us serving God to our full potential. When we hand this over to him, he has a real opportunity to do something new in us that will bring joy and release. And that's the joy that I'm talking about. Okay. So we're going to close now. I just want you to just close your eyes. And I'm not going to ask you to come out or anything. But I am going to say to you this morning, because I do think sometimes, you know, it's about drawing a line in the sand. If you this morning recognise that you feel inadequate in lots of ways, but you want to be in a place where that doesn't bring you down all the time, but actually giving that inadequacy to God will actually free you up and bring you joy. And joy to do whatever God wants you to do going forwards from today. And that inadequacy won't keep you from not doing things. But actually in a new place where you trust him and ask him to make up for what you lack. So if you're in that place, just put your hand up and I'll pray for you. That's good. That's good. And that's why I had to speak about it today. Lord, I thank you that we are inadequate, God, without you. But I do thank you, Lord, that you can replace that because you are enough. You are enough. And I pray for each person who's raised their hand to you. And I just ask, God, that, Lord, that you speak to them personally and bless them. Fill them with your love. Let them know, Lord, that you will fill every place where they feel inadequate. But that it's an empowering thing to be released in the Holy Spirit to move forward and to serve you as you deserve. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you love us and that you've created us out of goodness and love. Amen.